Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. And Ross, you know as well as anyone, certainly here in Cleveland, but really nationally, we're all focused on what happened on Thursday night, the ugliness of what happened on Thursday night here in Cleveland. We're kind of waiting for the aftermath. I guess my first question to you would be, have you ever been on a football field where you've either experienced something like this or witnessed anything like this, or was that all new to you as well, what happened Thursday night?
No, not new to me. Oh. Actually happened to me my second year in the NFL. I was with the Redskins, and I got in a fight with LeVar Arrington, who, by the way, looks like he could have been heavyweight champ of the world. And I was punching him. I thought I was kind of getting the better of it, but while I was punching him, he was working to get my helmet off. Next thing I know, I looked at him, and he swung my helmet at my head as hard as he could. Thank God he missed. And I got to tell you, I don't think about that much stuff from my football career, but I do think about the fact that, like, if he had connected, I would think I would have, like, died or at least got brain damage. I don't know how Mason Rudolph just kind of shook it off. I guess it was, like, the white softer thing hit him. I don't know, but, I mean, I'm pretty sure I would have died. I mean, the way LeVar swung it. And so, thankfully, you know, he missed. And I remember that everybody came over and broke up the fight then. But as they're breaking up the fight and pinning our arms down, LeVar gets his right arm out while my arms are pinned down and just gives me a right hook right to the left side of my head and ear. And it's just so funny. Just you guys will appreciate this. Dustin will appreciate this. So the offensive line coach, like, yells at me and takes me out for a play because I lost the fight. So then I go back in. The rest of practice, my ear is, like, gushing blood, and it's all over my white Redskins practice jersey. After practice, I walk in. They have to put 4 stitches in my ear because he split my ear open at the top. And then I punched him so many times in his helmet while he was trying to get my helmet off that my right hand was so bruised. They made me x-ray. They thought maybe I broke my hand punching his helmet, which isn't real bright, hashtag Princeton. And then I'll never forget, like, driving home. I'm 23 years old, my second year in the NFL. I call my wife, who's my girlfriend at the time. She's working for J.P. Morgan. I'm like, hey, hon, how was your day? She's like, I had the most annoying day. At lunch, Jessica asked me, and, like, she's going on and on about some whatever. And then she's like, how about you? I'm like, kind of a tough day at the office, almost died, 4 stitches in my ear, thought I broke my hand. But tell me more about Jessica and what she said at lunch.
Ross Tucker is with us.
Wow. So, by the way, Dustin, let me follow up to that real quick.
Yeah,
I've been saying this a couple times, all right? I'm not diminishing what Miles did at all. Not at all. He's suspended for the rest of the year, and he should be. But the 2 points I've made are, number one, I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened before. Like, I'm actually surprised it doesn't happen more often. And number two, I'd like to think, as we talk on the radio right now, that I would never do that and that I'd be able to think clear enough in the moment that I wouldn't do that. But, like, it cracks me up when I hear all these people thinking, like, what is he thinking? Like, have you ever been in a fight? You're not really thinking.
He's not thinking.
He didn't sit there and say, you know what? It probably is not a good idea to hit Mason in the head with this helmet. You know what? I'm going to do it anyway. You're not thinking. Like LeVar wasn't thinking when he swung his helmet at me. You know what I mean? Like, you get to a point where it's past football, and you're, like, thousands of years of natural instincts you know, come into play, and you are just trying to kill the guy. That's a, like you're yeah. like you feel threatened, and you are doing whatever you can to prevent whatever is threatening for you. So none of that, by the way, forgives what Miles did. I'm just saying I totally understand it. I wouldn't be shocked if I was in that situation if I did the same thing, and I'm actually kind of surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Ross Tucker again with us here on the hotline. Ross, do you think that Mason Rudolph got off easy and should have been suspended at least one game?
You know, looking at it, it's interesting because, you know, it's not the Zapruder film, right? But it does look like on the ground, I don't know what happened. I think Rudolph wasn't happy that Myles Garrett, I guess, was still playing that hard and took him to the ground. And I guess Rudolph felt like Myles was laying on him or giving him the business, because it was pretty clear after that. Then Rudolph tried to rip off Garrett's helmet, and Garrett clearly didn't like that, and he got his helmet off. And then Rudolph went after him once Myles Garrett was kind of being backed up by the offensive lineman. I guess I would say if Ogunjobi got a game, I think Mason Rudolph probably should have got a game, yeah. I mean, I didn't really like what Ogunjobi did at all. I actually happen to love what Marquise Pouncey did. I think Marquise Pouncey shouldn't have been suspended at all, but that's just the O-lineman protective nature in me. Sure. But if Ogunjobi got a game, yeah, I think Mason Rudolph probably should have gotten a game. And by the way, I don't think you want that if you're a Browns fan. I mean, that would be the best case scenario for the Steelers, because then they could put the other guy in, because Rudolph is not very good at football.
No, he's not.
Ross, let me ask you in terms of moving forward now. Again, we're still waiting for the discipline, but as you said, he's most likely done for the rest of the season. Now you had an injury to Morgan Burnett, who played a great game on Thursday. He's out for the season. You lose Ogunjobi for a game. They've got six games remaining. They're mathematically still in this. Can Freddie Kitchens specifically get these guys where they need to go? And are they still, in your mind, a legitimate thought as far as the playoff race?
I would say probably not. I have not seen the consistency. And I know what their schedule is looking like, and I know they'll be a favorite in most of those games, but I just haven't seen the consistency to think that they could get to at least the 9 wins that I think it's going to take without Myles Garrett. I mean, I think with him, they'd have a better chance. I mean, he's their best player. I mean, he's the best player on the team. That's a really, really big loss. It feels like the defense runs through him. You are right about Morgan Burnett. I will say this. I was pretty hard on Freddie Kitchens last week, and I thought he did a nice job having the Browns ready to play Thursday night. I mean, I thought they out-coached Mike Tomlin and the Steelers on a short week. I was not expecting that. Now, I know, Keith, your producer last week, you know, tweeted out, and rightfully so, that I don't foresee a scenario whereby Freddie Kitchens is the coach in 2021. I got all these Browns saying, what if they win the Super Bowl next year? Well, yeah, like there's a scenario where he'd be back. I don't see that happening, was my point. But I'll give him credit. I thought that was one of his better coached games of the year. And probably the key to the whole thing was that he got rookie Steven Carlson from Prince University involved in the end zone for that touch. How sweet was that?
That was a hell of a catch.
Can you imagine that being the first catch of your career? You were practice squad half the year. First catch of Thursday Night Football against the Steelers in the end zone, like off of Mark Barron's belt buckle? That was insane.
Demetrius Harris was happier for him than I think he was. I mean, that was awesome to see him do that.
I don't know if you guys know this, by the way. He's got kind of a crazy story. He had one catch before his junior year at Princeton. Like, his freshman and sophomore year in the Ivy League, he didn't play at all. Like, usually if you're an Ivy League, that guy that makes the NFL, freshman year you're killing dudes. He didn't have a catch his first two – he had one catch his first 2 years, and now he's – like playing for the Browns and scoring touchdowns. Pretty unbelievable.
it's a great story. Hopefully he can make some more catches for them in the future. Ross, going back to that game on Thursday, you mentioned it. You were impressed with Freddie Kitchens and how he had the team sort of ready to go. You know, we had our morning show this morning. Lima and Ken had on Aditi Kinkabal of the NFL Network, and she had talked to some Steelers players who had told her that the Browns came out with the attitude that they were going to bully the Steelers and take it to them and dominate. And I think that goes maybe to what Freddie Kitchens said to them before the game. And I like that, but I think it's also a little risky because you don't want to play out of control, which is, you know, what happened there at the kind of the end of the game. What'd you think about that? Those comments from those Steelers players and how the Browns, you know, took the attitude to try and take it to Pittsburgh.
Well, I think especially in the AFC North, I can remember from when I played, the Steelers, no matter who's on their team, they really do. There's a culture there. They really do think that they're tougher than you and that they're going to beat you up. There's no doubt. I mean, I can remember multiple games against them. Like, they're out there to beat you up. They're not just there to win the game. Part of their success over the years has been that they are physical bullies, and you have to try to match that. And I think that was the point that Freddie Kitchens made. You know, really, the big thing to me is the way Kitchens coached, and two games in a row, you've got Baker Mayfield playing better, you know, not turning over. Now, he wasn't quite as good in the second half of that game, but just playing better, you know, extending plays, making throws, not turning it over. Baker's been better, and I think Kitchens has been better. I think that, look, there's a lot of things I can criticize Freddie Kitchens for this year. I think the people criticizing Freddie Kitchens for what Myles Garrett did at the end of the game, that's laughable. Like, that's a total joke to me. That's like, I mean, that's almost as bad as the people that are saying, look, if you want to criticize Freddie Kitchens because the team gets too many penalties, go for it. You know, maybe they're not disciplined enough. But what Myles Garrett did was the outlier of all outliers in a fit of rage. And I think the people that are tying that into Freddie Kitchens, it's just because they don't like Freddie Kitchens. They don't think he's done a good job. You know, he can't control that Myles Garrett, I mean, got the helmet off and then swung it at the guy. That to me is comical and very unfair. There's plenty of other fair criticisms of Freddie Kitchens. You don't have to throw in ones like that. Now, the penalty one I think is fair, but not the Myles Garrett helmet swing.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned, you know, some people saying that. Todd Haley, now again, does he have a bone to pick with how things went down last year? Interestingly enough, he hasn't really said anything since all that went down last year, but he was one of those guys you're talking about, Ross, in terms of, you know, he basically came out and said, you know what, this whole season and that whole culture leads to what you saw the last 8 seconds of the game, and you're saying that's completely unfair.
Yeah, you know, that sounds like a convenient thing for an out-of-work coach to say. I will say this, it's kind of interesting, whether it's Haley or Bob Wiley, I don't know if they just don't like Freddie or they're jealous about how things went down at, like, you know, Haley was the coordinator. Wiley's the offensive line coach. Those are both higher on the totem pole than the running back coach, let me tell you. And that now Freddie Kitchens is the head coach and neither one of those guys have jobs, I can see why they're, like, a little bit bitter about it. But I don't agree with Haley on that. Look, if I said earlier that what Myles Garrett did was not thinking at all and just total, utter, lost his mind – then I don't know how you blame that on Freddie Kitchens. And I'll say this. I did that Jets game on sideline earlier in the year when Myles Garrett had a couple of penalties there, roughing the passer penalties, and that's what Freddie Kitchens told us at halftime. It's unacceptable, can't have it, and I think he went off on Myles Garrett. Now, maybe you could argue that the players aren't listening to him, but it's not like he's sitting there saying, hey, guys, I want you to go out and get a bunch of penalties. I want you to get roughing the passer penalties. And Myles, I want you to do this. And you can say, well, you should be more disciplined. You should discipline Myles Garrett. He's their best player, dude. You know what I mean? Like, coaches, a lot of times, they'll discipline the guy that they can afford to discipline. What are you going to do, bench Myles Garrett? Yeah, that's a good idea if you're trying to keep your job.
Let me just, in last 30 seconds, this has been great stuff. Ross, I know you're a big fan of Lamar Jackson and what he's done, and He certainly continues to do that week in and week out. You're saying you think he's changing the game, and you also believe that he's going to be able to withstand and maintain this. Has anything happened to divert you from that opinion?
Well, we'll see. The point I would make is half the teams have already started two quarterbacks, and most of it's because of injury. So you can get hurt in a lot of ways. More than anything, I just love it. I love the experiment. I love that somebody's giving it a try. They're zigging while everybody else is zagging. I mean, I saw him run the option five times against the Bengals. And when he throws the ball this well, you can just forget it. It's over. It is over if he throws the ball well, because you're going to get man-to-man coverage because of what they have to do to stop what you're doing in the run game. You're going to get man-to-man. If he's hitting his throws, it's over. I do power rankings on the Ross Tucker podcast on Tuesdays. They are my number one team, and they have been for the last couple weeks. Right now, I think that they are maybe even by far the best team in football.
All right, you're going to want to follow Ross Tucker on Twitter. And by the way, there's an interesting little piece he does today in response to a Christopher Matthews interview. I'm going to leave it at that. That's the tease, because it's a very funny story that he tells on his Twitter account. Ross, we appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. We hope to do it again soon, pal. Thank you.
All right, see you, dude.
All right, that is...
See you, Ross. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.